Scripture. The first is from the Old Testament letter, the writings of the prophet Isaiah from chapter 40. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes to the stars on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength. Mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The second passage is one verse from the 11th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Nowadays, when you looked across a street at an intersection, the crosswalk lights display an icon of a person standing or a person walking. But it used to be that those signs displayed words, not images. The one-word message told you to do one of two things, walk or wait. Wait. Waiting is not an easy thing for most of us. I mean, think how hard it is for children to wait for Christmas Day. During the season of Advent, having a daily Advent calendar for children might help them manage their impatience, but for kids, waiting for Christmas is hard. You know, at the start of this pandemic, who among us would have imagined that waiting would have gone on this long? Back in mid-March last year, we could barely imagine having to wait until, say, the end of April. Or maybe June? Or September? And now we're wondering about May or July or who knows before it'll seem like life is starting to feel a little normal again. You know, those frightening scenes at the U.S. Capitol building last month had most of us waiting anxiously, lest the violence that erupted there might emerge again, there or elsewhere. I felt like I was holding my breath for a few weeks, waiting with a feeling of anticipatory dread. I'm still waiting and hoping, but waiting. Now, to be sure, waiting is not always a dreadful thing. I mean, I think of those people who are even bigger fans of the Cleveland Browns than I am. I mean, we're accustomed to moaning, "Oh, wait until next year." But this year we're saying, I can't wait until next year. Maybe yours is one of many, many households that is simultaneously a workplace and a classroom as well as a home. People not in that situation can't imagine how difficult it is trying to manage all those functions and people in a confined space. Going to work and going to school while going nowhere grew wearisome a long time ago. And that's the effect of waiting. It can be exhausting. It can make us weary. Waiting can wear us out. I mean, aren't you weary of not being able to see people's faces? I mean, face masks are so important for getting this virus under control, but won't it be wonderful to be able to see people's smiles once again? What else causes us weariness? Video conferencing. Trying to have personal interactions with images of people's faces instead of being able to see them face to face and to read their body language, being close enough to sense how they're feeling, what they're thinking. How many times have you heard someone say, "I am zoomed out," meaning that they've had all they can take of those screen meetings? We've grown oh so weary of what at first was innovative and exciting. And let's face it, this worshiping on your TV or your tape, your laptop or your tablet or your smartphone, I mean, I'm so glad we have this capability. It's been invaluable during the strain of this pandemic. And going forward, we will always have this worship video option, especially for people who are homebound or people who are traveling or they're dealing with sickness in the household or they have to work on Sundays. And so, yes, I'm glad we have this option. But we also remember. We remember being able to actually gather in the same physical space for worship and for fellowship, to inspire our hearts, to share our lives. We remember that. And we miss that. This digital connection is nice. But we can become weary of it when we remember what it's like to literally congregate. We're weary of not being able to get together with friends and neighbors for a meal or a drink or just to talk. We're weary of not being able to sing. We're weary of wondering and worrying about when and how the vaccine will eventually end up in our arms. We're weary of not being able to have holiday celebrations and informal gatherings with our extended families. We're weary of intense political partisanship that impedes collaboration for addressing issues that are facing our state and our nation and our planet. We're weary of wondering when our daily lives will feel normal again. And where is God in all our waiting? Where's God amidst the weariness that the world has inflicted on us? Well, the Old Testament prophet named Isaiah knew the struggle of seemingly endless waiting. He knew how weariness took a toll on the spirit. He wrote to the Israelites in Jerusalem who were tired, weary, they were anxious, they were nervous. You see, their Israelite cousins in the region just north of them had been overrun by the armies of a neighboring nation, causing them to live under the strain of military occupation. And now the Israelites of Jerusalem were nervous. Were they next? What did the future hold for them? They waited anxiously, wondering if and when the other shoe would drop, the possible threat, living with the unknown. It strained their nerves and unsettled their hearts. And so Isaiah issued words of comfort, assurance, hope, reminding them that God's compassion and power, God's strength and love were no match for whatever they faced. He wrote, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God." Well, of course they'd heard. Of course they knew, but in their condition, they needed to be reminded. And so Isaiah reminded them, "The Lord does not grow faint or grow weary." In fact, Isaiah added, "He gives power to the faint, strengthens the powerless. For instance, even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted." And then Isaiah delivers the good news, the hope, the reason to embrace the faith that we hold, the vision for a new day beyond the challenges of the present day. Isaiah wrote, "Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Do you know the words that follow that? I bet you do. "They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Imagine that. Those who wait for the Lord will fly, they'll run, they will walk. Imagine that. Think of what we're doing because God is renewing our strength, enabling us to walk, to run, to fly. I mean, through this church, for the last 2 weeks, we've been able to look beyond ourselves to the needs of others, in particular, to the needs of the homeless. We've been collecting socks and scarves, blankets and jackets to comfort and protect the homeless. In fact, we're extending that collection one more week through Friday, February 12th. And with God renewing our strength, we're able to notice the needs of our neighbors and friends and respond as we are able, perhaps making a run to the store for them, or clearing snow for them, or watching their children a while for them, or simply giving them an attentive ear, allowing them to unload and vent some of their worries and frustrations. God renews our strength so that we can pray for others. I mean, everyday life always has its challenges, but these days, everyday life can include moments that simply overwhelm. From our reservoir of strength, we can pray for colleagues or friends, relatives, neighbors, praying that their anger at life will be vented safely, praying that their impatience with loved ones will be soothed, praying for an easing of their stressful worry about trying to make ends meet. Friends, my sisters and brothers in Christ, that ancient Israelite prophet knew what his people then needed to remember, that we can trust in God. That message is ancient, but it's also written for today, isn't it? When waiting for our lives to improve wears us down, we can wait for the Lord, because God is greater than anything that causes us to feel weary. God is greater than anyone who causes hope to slip away. God is greater than the forces in our daily lives that make us want to walk away, throw in the towel, give up, or as the Bible describes it, simply to faint and not care anymore. Perhaps Isaiah realized the only way to get through the worst hard time was to remember, to recall God's holiness, God's majesty, the awesomeness of God's works. Maybe the writer realized that praising God for being faithful and just, even if the world wasn't, that was an act of power, an act of faith, and it still is. As the familiar verse from Hebrews chapter 11 announces, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We're able to hope for deliverance from the challenges of these days because of the faith we affirm, because of the faith that we embrace. Our faith brings us back to remember God's unstoppable goodness, God's unceasing compassion, God's generous mercy, God's promise of hope. Oh yes, in God we trust. For as Isaiah assured us, God does not faint or grow weary. God's understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Amen.